This is the KPFA LSB meeting for Saturday, December 18th, 2021. And I'm going to ask for, I'm calling this to order, and I'm going to ask Carol to take roll call, please, for the old members. Not that you're old or anything, but.
Okay.
For the current members.
Yes, yeah. The current members.
So the first part of the meeting is the old board, and then the new part we will transition to the new board. Sharon Adams.
Here.
Sharon, here. Marilyn Langlois.
Here.
Marilyn, here. Daniel Borgstrom. Come back. Christine Pepin asked for an excused absence. Chris Corey.
Here.
Chris is here. Mark Van Landwood.
Here.
Mark is here. Susan Da Silva. Susan is not here yet. Shira Dedman asked for an excused absence. Don Goldmacher.
Present.
Don is here. Christina Huggins.
Here.
Christina Montreplanzi asked. Did she? Yeah, I think she did ask for an excused absence.
I'll bring Alan some chocolate.
Yes, if I may say, Carol, Mantra had contacted me also. She wasn't sure she'd be able to have internet access, so she asked me to make sure you got the excused absence from her.
Good, thank you. James McFadden. James McFadden. Okay, we'll come back to that. Lily Kimura. Lily Kimura. I see your name there, Lily. Okay, I'm going to come back to Lily. Aki Tanaka.
Here. Here.
Oh, hi, Lily. Lily's here. Aki Tanaka.
Here.
Aki's here. Andrea Turner. Here. Andrea's here. Tom Voorhees.
Tom is here.
Good. Tom is here. Carol Wolfley present. Sabrina Jacobs.
Here.
Sabrina Jacobs here. Darlene Pagano.
Here.
Darlene is here. Tim Lynch for an excused absence. Frank Sterling.
Hello, I'm here.
Frank is here. Janine Etter.
Here.
Janine is here. Philip Maldari.
Here.
Philip is here. Donald McClay. Donald is not here. I'm just going to go back. Daniel Borgstrom.
Here. Daniel's present.
Okay. Daniel. Susan Da Silva. I'm going to mark absent unless she shows up. Okay. And Donald McClay, I'm going to mark absent unless he shows up. And Quincy McCoy.
It's not Quincy.
I'm here.
Yeah, Quincy's here. Thank you. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. We do have quorum.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you.
I'm going to go ahead and read the group agreements.
Christina, I think we're going to read those in the second part of the meeting, if that's okay.
Sure, that's fine.
Okay.
Lauren, I don't get to read them right now.
We're trying to save time.
No, that's fine. The meeting administrator will send email ballots for the officer elections and reply all to the meeting administrators by email to vote during the meeting up until the end of voting for each office. So what that essentially is we will be having an election for new officers on the new board, and we're allowing people to vote now if you already have decided who you want to vote for, or you may wait to hear the candidates give a brief 1 minute or description of themselves. So it's entirely up to you. You can vote now or you can wait later.
And there will also be possibility for last minute nominations if anyone wants to be nominated later on.
Thank you. Okay, so with that, we will...
Jose, will you please go ahead and send the email to everyone. You will receive an email from Jose Gonzalez and Kai Gustafson. Reply all to that email, please, when you vote. If you are not able to do that, we'll find other ways.
I have received mine, so I assume they've all gone out.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jose.
Member, can people who are not sworn in vote?
Nope.
You can't, after you're sworn in. Okay. Just maybe.
You have to wait until you're sworn in. They would have to wait till they're sworn in to vote.
Okay. Yeah. Have to wait. Sorry.
Okay.
Good question. You know, there's all these little details that we have to kind of work our way through. Okay.
Where the devil is, right? In the details.
I move that we approve the agenda.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Well, I'm going to ask all those who are opposed to raise your hand on the screen. And I hope people, that would be the current board. Anybody opposed to approve the agenda, raise your hand, please. And Jose, it looks to me like no one's hand is raised. Is that correct?
Correct.
Thank you. The agenda is approved. So we're going to move on to reports. And Carol, did you receive reports ahead?
Yes, I want to just take a moment to introduce the station manager, Quincy McCoy, and
Christina, may I be recognized for a moment? Point of information.
Yes, go ahead.
I can't seem to locate my ballot. When was it sent?
Just now.
Okay, I'll wait for it. Thank you.
You will also be able to vote in the chat to the administrator if you prefer to do it that way.
Oh, okay.
You just need to write your name, but it has to be to the meeting administrator, not to everybody. So be careful with that. Yeah. Okay. I just want to take a moment. Oh, Christina, did you want to introduce Quincy?
Sure. Our general manager of KPFA radio station we've been lucky enough to have him for, I think, 7 years now. That may be a record. And he has a report for us, and I feel personally very lucky to have him. KPFA is doing really well right now. We have a robust fund drive and we've been very stable. And thank you very much, Quincy. So with that, Quincy has a report for us.
Thank you. This is a very long report, this quarterly report, so we're going to kind of break it up in two ways. I'm going to read this opening part, which is, I think, very essential because we're talking about some reorganization. And then Kevin is going to come in and do the development report and open up questions about fundraising and things like that. Also, the parts on the report, there's a report from the news department. There's also a large report from the engineering department. You'll be able to see those when they mail out the report to everyone. So I'll just start. I want to welcome all the new members and thank you for deepening your investment in KPFA and your commitment to shaping our future. You are joining KPFA at an exciting time, a turning point, as we strive to remain relevant and refine our brand as a social justice media institution. Successful radio is local radio. I've followed this mantra through 30 years of programming experience. It means that radio that connects people to their communities is trusted and valued. Now more than ever, KPFA remains unique in its role as a local communication service, one that is a lifeblood of local information and culture. Yet I know as a radio professional that radio listening has drastically diminished. Terrestrial radio isn't growing. It's a maintenance game. The days of appointment listening when folks dialed in at specific times to hear favorite programs are fading fast. Our senior listeners stay tuned between 8 to 11 hours a day. It's called companionship listening. That's what keeps us afloat, and it's something we can also build on. Today, radio is a second choice for listeners, a second choice, and we're a free form of entertainment. Subscription services like Spotify and iHeartMedia offer a wider variety of music, podcasts, audiobooks, and dare I say it, a coolness level. They are winning the battle for ears. The number one listener preference is for on-demand services, which customers can pick and choose what programming they want to hear when they're ready to listen. So we must become more responsive to that reality. Today's listeners are media savvy and expect more from radio than it's delivering. Times have changed. Change challenges us both to unlearn and learn. Change presents an opportunity for KPFA to embrace new possibilities by thinking outside of the confines of what has always been. A radio station that values flexibility can remain vital and creative. The most difficult part of change is overcoming people's natural resistance to switching things up. Over the past year, we, KPFA management, have challenged ourselves to think out of the box and to take action to achieve our vision goals, improving programming, raising revenues, and increasing membership. Fundamentally, we concluded that we don't have enough staff to deploy the scale and the full scope of our vision because we're under Pacifica's ever-present hiring freeze. So we've settled on adaptive reorganization. Adaptive reorganization, making small incremental adjustments, fine-tuning our management structure, so effectively to expand the targeted departments necessary for us to succeed. The targeted departments are programming, development, and Area 941, our modest podcasting network. Back in the day, programming and development departments were wisely staffed with several directors handling various important divisions. Today, we have one person in an untenable position of frantically juggling too many duties. That's why our burnout rate in those departments is high. Plus, you can imagine how hard it is to find qualified people willing to work for below major market wages to carry a heavy load of responsibilities. We're excited about our reorg. We've been successful in expanding the departments without going outside of our station ecosystem. We're blessed to have a crew of talented folks willing to extend their duties to aid the station. A colorful, easy-to-read reorg chart is going to appear here in the sharing, I think, of the screen in just a second or two. And it will also be part of, it'll be attached to the report. But here are some of the highlights. Yesterday's fund drive marked the end of interim PD Laura Privis's second term as program director. Laura has served two terms as PD during my eight-year tenure. I will miss her daily counsel, historical knowledge, and instinctive management style. She, however, will not miss having 200 people reporting to her. Laura's superpower is leading our fund drives, and I'm thrilled to report that we're able to keep her on part-time level as fund drive manager. This position is part of the new programming department that is now broken up into three sections: fund drive, public affairs team, and the music and culture team. So programming for 2022. All three of these areas will report to Director of Operations Antonio Ortiz. Under his direction, members of the public affairs and music and culture teams will lead a team-oriented strategy designed to improve our three C's: communication, collaboration, and consultation. The impact will result in a heightened sense of teamwork. Our aim is to rejuvenate the creative spirit at KPFA. This new playing field at work will allow people to tap freely into their creative spirit and apply it to their craft. For this to happen, KPFA needs to challenge the status quo and branch out our brand as a dominant fixture in radio's new playing field. I'm proud to report that in the last 3 years, KPFA has made major strides entering the 21st century media landscape. We're completely digital, which has served us well during this pandemic period of remote broadcasting. KPFA now has a powerful website that is a point of pride for the station. The website plays a central role in the uptick of our listenership reach and improved revenue stream. Our research told us years ago that most folks listen online and come to the station through the website. So we launched Area 941 4 years ago, with the intention of tipping our toes into the fastest growing media arena in the world, podcasting. Area 941 was developed to extend our conversations beyond the radio dial and ignite change through digital storytelling, journalism, podcast, and live events. Area 941's goal is to present storytelling that affects our listeners' daily lives and hopefully entertains as much as it informs. Area 941 gives us the opportunity to break free of our rigid radio grid and create a larger playing field to keep pace with our culture's growing diversity, interest, and incorporating that vibrancy into our organization. It's been difficult to build enthusiastic staff participation in Area 941, mainly because many of our players aren't thinking outside the borders of the radio dot. As I said earlier, change is about learning and unlearning and daring to take the next step into the future. The new content for Area 941 in 2022 will align with KPFA's existing brand, Storytelling for Social Change, narratives of impact that illustrate the power of programming to create change. The hosts, their content, their community presence, and their partners and collaborators will also align to advance KPFA's mission to create a media landscape that identifies, lifts, and amplifies the voices that speak for communities that are shut out of the majority media institutions. The action plan for Area 941 is pretty simple. We're going to refine Area 941's brand so it builds on Storytelling for Social Change, establish the value prop for new shows, and undertake outreach and negotiations for shows we invite to the network, align the final network lineup, and then relaunch with maximum presence across all KPFA channels, air, email, social, press, promotion, and special events. Development Department 2022. Like programming, the Development Department is without enough hands to help expand our generosity network, properly manipulate our database, or add new transformational tools so like-minded partners can join us and support our important work. Again, it's impossible for one human to embrace and execute all the above. For years, we've endeavored to reach a short-term goal of just making ends meet. Now our quest is to operate with an ambitious long-term goal that will alleviate our debt, foster a large reserve, and generate funds needed to expand our staff and transform KPFA into a global media brand. We're not so naive that we think that these goals can be accomplished overnight. We're taking baby steps in the direction of greater achievements and creating a financial safety net for KPFA. Our goal is to continue to introduce new donors to our station. Turnover is inevitable, which means replacing folks, donors, and staff with new blood, which is a vital process in any healthy organization. Another notable incident that encouraged our reorganization was the retirement of Bob Baldock. For 30 years, Bob has successfully produced KPFA's author events. Bob is the KPFA Vigilance Award winner for his passionate support, his hours of donating time to a series that has helped brand KPFA as an educational source in the Bay Area and created valuable storytelling premiums. And his series always boosted our bottom line. I'll miss his mentorship and counsel. Yet I know that our conversations about art and books will continue. By the way, Bob is an excellent abstract painter and writer. His memoir about his participation in the Cuban Revolution, his time with Fidel Castro, called Wild Green Oranges, is out and will be a KPFA Zoom event on January 27th, hosted by Kevin H., our development director. Kevin H. is here today, so you can ask him any questions pertaining to the reorg of his department, which includes the addition of the KPFA speakers events. Along with the existing events team, our plan is to add a considerable amount of ingenuity to shake up the events format and expand beyond authors and add critical thinkers and elements from our programming schedule. A few we're brainstorming on are, one, KPFA After Dark. It's a mixture of music performances, fiction, and nonfiction storytelling for social change. Two, take the red pill. KPFA presents deep dives into the great past performances from our archive. And three, upfront and live. Kat and Brian in front of an audience with a special guest. We've adjusted a staff member as a part-time assistant to the membership department to aid in data entry and cleanup as we merge from our old database to the new. Plus, our social media team will increase our generosity branding through postings on additional platforms. These additional hands will hopefully give the development department time to focus on off-air fundraising, the key to our financial success, grant hunting, legacy gift promotion, and increasing our vehicle donations. This organizational chart is built around our reorg is designed to provide organizational support where needed and to meet department goals and achieve desired outcomes. So we will be on point, observing in case these changes may require additional personnel changes, fine-tuning, including reaching beyond our ecosystem for new blood. Finally, I and the entire management staff want to thank our outgoing treasurer, Sharon Adams, for all the pro bono work she has done for KPFA over the years. She has worked tirelessly and brilliantly, I must add, on the copyright website issues for us and vendor contract negotiations, protecting us and saving us money in legal fees. So now I'll pass this on to Kevin H. To give his development report in further detail.
I just wanted to pause and interrupt. If we could just take a moment, I forgot to have Antonio introduce our meeting administrators before we go on to Kevin. Antonio, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I just wanted to say hello to everyone and quickly that I loved hearing all of the good mornings and the beautiful smiles this morning. And the reason I wanted to do a quick introduction is I just want you to know who's working with you, who's from the operations department. We have Jose Gonzalez, who is going to actually be leaving this position as your AV technician for the meetings. And he's training Kai Gustafson, who is going to be taking over. And you'll have both Jose and Kai next month to assist with the I think you're going to have some more elections or something that you guys are doing next month that they will both work together with you all on. But just know that Kai will be taking over for the next year. And this is our way of getting people who have been trained in the operations department to get some hands-on experience at the station. And so it's me looking for avenues where they can help the station, also get some skills that they can put underneath their belt. And when they're out and ready to move on to other pastures, they have KPFA on their resumes. And so that's my main goal. And also to support everyone who's doing good work at the station. And I just wanted to say thank you.
Thank you, Antonio. And thank you for all the many interns you have recruited and trained for KPFA. I think it is amazing work. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Antonio. And on to the report.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Antonio. And thank you, everybody, for having me today. I'd like to also welcome and congratulate the incoming board members and thank you in advance of your service for this very important organization. I'll quickly wrap up the last couple of fund drives. Our fall fund drive was very successful. We had a goal of $450,000 and we had 412 plus pledged. That's a 91% reach of our goal, and that's very successful. We had a fall post drive goal of $35,000 to kind of make up that difference. This was a $16,000 pledged, so you know, slightly under 50% of that, but it did get us very, very close to accomplishing our absolute goal. The holiday drive, which we just completed yesterday, was very strong as well. We had a goal of $300,000. And as of 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon, we had a pledged $280,000 pledged, which is about 92% of our goal. So again, very positive. We have a $50,000 goal for our post drive, which is going to run a little bit longer this year. We're keeping premiums up and doing some soft pitching through the end of the year. So that will go till December 31st. And I'm certain that we will be able to close the gap and have 100% success in reaching our goal of $300,000 for this holiday fund drive. So it was a hard fought effort. And I really want to thank everybody for their participation in this fund drive. Also of note, somewhat recently, was KPFA's return to the Craneway Craft Fair. This is KPFA's largest off-air fundraiser, and it was a return to the Craneway Pavilion this year after not being able to occur during 2020 due to COVID restrictions. 2021 was the 50th anniversary of this Maker Fair and included about 200 vendors, food service, and music from notable musician Andy Kabik of Vetter. Strict safety precautions were in place, as in vaccination status. Excuse me? Vaccination statuses were checked. Masks were worn indoors. Hand sanitizer stations were present. All of this was adhered to. And as a result, KPFA was able to have a community outreach table present on site to promote our station. Use of social media was a wonderful new addition this year. And interviews with creators were streamed on Facebook and Instagram, in addition to being broadcast live on KPFA 94.1. Program guides were digitized and made available via a QR code as well in a physically printed format. This addresses concerns of minimizing waste while at the same time creating a fluid online link to not only get people, but also to our donation area, podcasts, and show archives. $25,000 was raised for KPFA from this event, and it was a very welcome return to a physical presence in order to expand our outreach. KPFA's 2021 end of year appeal letter was another stunning design, and this year included an vigilant as always diamond shaped vinyl sticker, as well as the remit for donations. This was sent to 14,000 people. The content of this appeal focuses on KPFA's stability during another year of upheaval, and that instead of merely sheltering in place, KPFA has expanded its reach by investing donor dollars in upgrading our broadcasting equipment and adding a new transformer tower in the Monterey area. It's still early, but the response has been immediate and overwhelmingly positive. Donations are already being received at the station, and our goal of raising $20,000 with this appeal should prove to be successful. 2022 goals. As Quincy had mentioned, the special events team is changing. Bob Baldock, KPFA's event producer of more than 30 years, will be retiring at the beginning of 2022, and special event programming will become part of the development department led by myself, Kevin Hunsanger. With over 25 years of experience producing literary events as the co-owner of Green Apple Books, I'm uniquely qualified to take the reins of this program. My goals for 2022 will be to expand KPFA's event series beyond simply an author series by including more music and experiential events and, COVID willing, host these events in unique physical locations that will broaden and expand KPFA's demographic. Further goals will be increased social media presence. Social media platforms are increasingly important in disseminating the KPFA brand, and the development department will work closely with our social media team to promote on-air and off-air fundraising. The development department will stay on top of social media trends and technology and will provide content to the social media team in order to broaden KPFA's reach to an ever-changing demographic. I'm most excited about the collaboration with the local station board's fundraising committee. The creation of a fundraising committee on the local station board is an exciting and welcome development from 2021, and one that KPFA's development department is looking forward to working with in 2022. A fundraising questionnaire is now available to all board members via Google Drive, and it's crucial that members of this station board complete the brief document and return it to the fundraising committee chairperson so that the committee can be better informed on each individual's fundraising commitment levels. Major fundraising efforts for 2022 may include capital campaigns to assist with fundraising projects to help offset costs incurred for the following important areas. One, painting of KPFA's Transformer Tower. This FAA mandated task needs to occur every 7 years and must be completed in 2022. The estimated cost of this necessity is $40,000. A diversity, equity, and inclusion staff training session. This important series of informational workplace protocol training sessions have been researched in 2021, and costs for this program have been quoted to be as high as $50,000. A KPFA is optimistic that options to the station will come in at a ballpark cost of around $25,000 to $30,000, but this is a crucial evolution of staff training and needs to be prioritized. And then the repair of structural water and flooding damage. Because KPFA studios and building are built upon a river, during rainstorms, water backs up into the ground floor, causing major damage to equipment and station structure. Early estimates to address this issue have arrived between $75,000 and $100,000. The above are merely a few examples of major projects that the local station board fundraising committee could raise funds for in order to help offset incurred costs. The local station board fundraising committee can go a great way toward increasing KPFA's membership and raising funds without tapping our existing donor base. And the development department is thrilled to have the support and commitment of KPFA's local station board contributing toward off-air fundraising in 2022. Thank you for your time. And I know our time is precious. I can take a couple questions if anybody has them for me.
Thank you, Kevin. It was a great report, and we very much appreciate all the enthusiasm and the talent you've brought to raising money for KPFA. Thank you, and it was a very thorough report, and I apologize for the interruption there.
Not at all.
Did not expect it. So do we have any questions for Kevin?
Thank you, Christian.
You're welcome. I don't see any. Jose, do you see any hands raised?
No, none.
I see Darlene.
Yes, I just wanted to ask Kevin, how do we get in touch with you for volunteering for some of this work?
Thank you, Darlene. The fundraising forum is an electronic document that Carol will send everyone access to. So if you fill that out, it's a very, very, very brief questionnaire. It will have your contact information. It will kind of go over some of the small, number of things, ways that you are interested in helping KPFA raise funds, your previous experience in fundraising, yada, yada. It will also include your email address, your phone number, and areas that you are interested in participating in. And myself and Janine will be in contact with you then. So if you are interested in volunteering to help fundraise, thank you very much in advance of that. And we will certainly be in touch with you.
Thank you. So I'm understanding, where do people get the form?
Carol, do we have that?
Yes, I will be sending out the form to Quincy's report during the break.
Great. Thank you very much. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you, Carol.
Franklin, Jose, is Franklin the next?
Correct. Yes, Franklin. Has his hand up.
Hello. I'm just trying to clarify the email because I know there's like development at KPFA or Kevin H at KPFA, Kevin K Hunzinger at KPFA, development director at KPFA. There's four of them. Which one is the best, or are they for different reasons?
Franklin, thank you. They all flow into my Kevin H at KPFA email account, which I check with extraordinary regularity. I think that it's important to have a development at KPFA, in the off chance that I'm not, in this position forever, that it can streamly, seamlessly transition to the next person. But all of those addresses do feed directly into the kevinh@kpfa.org email address. So that is my preferred one to answer your question.
Thank you. kevinh@kpfa.org.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Of course.
Thank you, Franklin. Are there any other questions?
I don't see any hands up.
Thank you, Jose. Okay, well, we'll move on to the next report then. The next report is by Sharon Adams.
Sharon? Okay, yes. Hello, everybody.
Hi, Sharon.
Hey, I am the treasurer of KPFA LSB. This is my last meeting. I will be terming out, as was mentioned. So I know that there are some new LSB members here, so I'm going to give a bit of a summary that perhaps existing members know some of the stuff I'm about to say, but I thought it might be helpful. So the first thing I wanted to say is that Pacifica's fiscal year runs from October 1st to September 30th. And so that always makes the financials, you know, slightly complicated to look at. So right now, Pacifica and KPFA are in fiscal year 2022, and it started on October 1st, 2021, a couple months ago. Okay, each station within Pacifica runs itself and its finances, but from a legal perspective, all five stations are not separate entities. They are all part of the Pacifica Foundation, Inc., which is a nonprofit corporation. So this has implications for KPFA. As you may have heard, there's a $3.2 million loan that Pacifica owes the debtor. Pacifica is the debtor on this $3.2 million loan. And this was used to pay off a settlement of a lawsuit, the lawsuit was due to the failure of WBAI, the New York radio station, to pay tower rent. And, the Empire State Realty Trust sued and won a judgment against WBAI and, of course, actually technically against Pacifica Foundation, Inc., because that's how breach of contract works. If you don't pay, they can sue you and get money. So a slim majority of the Pacifica National Board decided that encumbering Pacifica with a $3.2 million loan was the solution to pay off the judgment incurred by that lawsuit. Even though there was no plan to pay off the $3.2 million loan, there was no plan when it was taken out and they've had time and nothing seemed to happen on that. So a slim majority on the PNB voted to take on this debt. This loan has something like an 8% interest rate, and the loan principal originally, the $3.2 million principal, well, slightly paid down, was originally due in April of this year, April 2021. However, the PNB never had a plan to pay off the loan, and so there was no ability to pay off that loan in April of this year. The lender agreed to an extension of the loan, and the principal is now due to be paid off in October of 2022, which is, of course, less than 1 year away. The only plans that I've seen put forward by the PNB, by members of the PNB, I should say, not the entire PNB, the only plan that I've seen to pay off the loan is to sell physical assets of the Pacifica Foundation. And just so you know, the Pacifica Foundation has already sold off some of the physical assets. For example, the Nakapon building, as it's commonly called, which is the building that was next to KPFA's studio building, was sold by the National Board to pay other debts. And the Texas station was recently sold, well, the land was sold, not due to this loan, but for other reasons, but that money, that asset has been sold also. WBAI is renting, so they don't have any physical assets. And so the only remaining physical assets of real estate are KPFA studio building, and the KPFK, the Los Angeles stations, building, which also houses the Pacifica radio archives. So that is the only plan that I have seen. I've also heard mention of signal swap and things like that, but there's been no real discussion on that. So the $3.2 million is coming due in less than a year, and there doesn't seem to be a plan to pay it off except for selling off assets. And I already mentioned the two assets that remain. Okay, so changing subjects. The National Finance Committee, or as it's often called, the NFC. As treasurer of this local station board, I'm a member of the National Finance Committee. And at the last National Finance Committee meeting, which was on Tuesday of this past week, we learned that in this new fiscal year, which started in October, we only have through October right now. So we just have the figures through October. But we learned that WBAI had lost $52,000 in the first month of the fiscal year. KPFA continues to be the financial star of Pacifica, and it showed an income of $76,000 for October 2022. I think I will try to share my screen at this point. Let me see if I can do that. Yes, okay, here we go. I just wanted people to see, so I don't have to go through these numbers. I will send this out by email. But these were the, this is, okay, NETA, N-E-T-A, is the accountants for Pacifica, and this is the financial narrative that was produced at the last NFC meeting. So it shows the numbers for each station. I mean, rather than me just saying them, you can look at them. You could take a screenshot, and I will send it out later. Okay. So I'm going to stop sharing now, and then I'll share something else in a minute. Okay. So now I want to talk about central services. Again, this might be something other people already know, but the way Pacifica Foundation, the nonprofit corporation, works is that each station pays its central services to what's called the Pacifica National Office. And the Pacifica National Office uses those funds to do things like pay NETA, the accountants, the auditors, other bills that come in. You know, Pacifica has bills, and so those are paid through the central services payments. In general, each station pays about 15% of its listener support as its central services obligation. That's how the formula is determined. However, WBAI pays only 8% of listeners of its listener support as central services due to historical reasons that are no longer relevant. Despite the lower burden on WBAI, it has repeatedly failed to make central services payments. However, just to be clear, WBAI is not alone in this. In fact, KPFA is the only station that is up to date in its central services payments. So now I'm going to share something else here. Wait, let's see, share. Okay, it's this one. Yes, okay. So this was prepared by a member of, I don't know what you guys can see. But anyway, this was prepared by a member of the NFC, the National Finance Committee, and it shows the central services payments. So I don't know. Can I do that? There. Okay. I just wanted to go over this a little bit. So like I said, this is how the national office pays its bills. And as you can see here, KPFA has paid its central services. This is fiscal year 19, paid, unpaid, fiscal year 20, paid, unpaid. Okay, all the way up to the total. So KPFA has paid a total of over $1 million. And that unpaid, you know, we have the monthly payment. And I also do believe that KPFA is owed money through Pacifica. So there might be some financial accounting that's going on there. Because, for example, KPFA did just forward to the national office over $17,000 to cover the payroll at KPFK. So there might be a little bit of that going on with that unpaid amount there. But as you can see, every station owes. KPFK, you know, $552,000. Well, we've heard a lot about their problems. The Texas station. Okay, WBAI, $217,000, and then WPFW, $163,000. Now, I want to also clarify that this, what's called the PRA Central Services, is that's the money that goes to the Pacifica Radio Archives to support that. And again, we see KPFA has paid, and so has K and T. They're up to date. Now, you can see WPFW owes for its Pacifica Radio Archives, but they have turned things around. So what happened was in 2019, they were owing some money and some in 2020, but now they've started turning things around at WPFW, and their financials showed that in that earlier screenshot that I shared. And then again, benefit costs. Again, we see that WBAI and WPFW owe. But again, looking at WPFW, you see that they owed from 19 and 20, but they've somewhat cured their issues in 2021. And also that's true for WBAI. The same with payroll. So this is the reason why I'm sharing this is to show and to say that, in particular, when central services are not paid, it makes it impossible for Pacifica Foundation or difficult to pay the vendors that it owes. And then when other stations aren't paying their payroll, for example, KPFA and other stations have to cover it. That's just how it works. There's not other sources of money. The money is only the money that is raised through the fund drives. So I people sometimes don't understand that seems to be how the financial situation works within Pacifica. So anyway, that concludes my treasurer's report for now. I just wanted to give a bit of an overview, and yeah, that's what I have to say. So I guess if there's questions, I can take questions.
Thank you, Sharon. That was a very thorough report. I appreciate being caught up. Do we have any questions for Sharon on her report? Jose, keep me
no hands up.
I did not see any either. Okay. Thank you very much, Sharon. Yeah.
Is Donald Goldmacher waving at the screen, or is he just trying to adjust something?
No, I'm trying to actually get there. So thank you. I'm trying to raise my hand.
Okay. Yes.
I do see Donald Goldmacher's hand is up.
Thank you. Go ahead, Donald.
If you call, I'll call you back later, whoever it is. Call me back later. Hi. Yeah, my question, Sharon, is do we understand how it is that the Washington station has suddenly improved its revenue? What have they done to alter that picture?
They did get a new treasurer at WPFW, the Washington station. Not that he did it, but that helped with their accounting. There are a lot of times, the one point I wanted to make about the financials that I was sharing, which I forgot to say, was they don't show figures before fiscal year 19. And that is because NEDA, the accountants were hired, and the books at some of the stations, not KPFA, were in such disarray that they really can't give you month to month financials for the previous years. But to answer your question about WPFW, so then they got a banker actually to become treasurer of their station. And I believe they've just improved. I don't know. Chris has his hand up. Maybe he has some comments on that.
Chris?
Yeah. So regarding WPFW, they actually replaced their transmitter about 4 years ago, and they've been expanding coverage ever since then. And they've just done a really good job of development and marketing at that station. It's primarily a music station, but they've done extremely well at reaching new members, basically, or recovering old members if you want to go back far enough in their history. They went through quite a long period of having low signal strength, and having fixed that, they've just been improving ever since then. I agree with Sharon. They're one of the two crown jewels of the organization right now, if you will, between KPFA and WPFW. If it weren't for deficiencies at KPFK, the station would be, or excuse me, Pacifica as a whole would be very, very nearly in balance. So that's the main problem with the network right now is KPFK. So
thank you, Donald. Did you have a follow-up question?
Yeah, but though they're improving, they still, if you look at the central services report that Sharon just looked at with us, they're still not holding up their end of the bargain.
Well, I think those are carry forwards, but
they are,
especially recently. But I need to look at that carefully. That's how Lyndon prepared that report, is using carry forwards from the last few years. It doesn't show the entire history, obviously, or you'd show a much more massive deficit on the part of, in terms of balance sheets, you'd show a much more massive deficit on the part of WBAI, and a much more generous amount of money on the KPFA side. But yes, they definitely are improving, and I think they're current for like the current fiscal year or the past fiscal year.
Yeah, I just to interrupt, I think that's, see, that's what this shows is, yes, in fiscal year 19, they had paid and unpaid, you know, they had about half, more than half. Same in 2020, okay, they paid a little bit more. But if you look in 2021, they paid their full amount and even more than what they owed. That's what the parentheses mean. So they have improved in this past year.
Thank you.
Great. Any more questions?
Fred.
Now, I understand our general manager tells us that we are, in fact, getting most of our listeners through our website. And I'm wondering if that's correct, whether the other stations are using the internet as effectively.
The NFC meeting, sometimes people ask for assistance. You know, they say, oh, what are you doing at KPFA? How can you help us? But there seems to be a bit of a disconnect in implementing any help that KPFA may provide.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And if there are no other questions, which I do not see any at this point.
Philip,
go ahead, Philip.
I just want to clarify that I think what was stated by Kevin H. that new members are coming through the website, but by far the vast majority of people listening to KPFA are listening over the terrestrial signal. Well over 90% of our listeners are doing it the old-fashioned way.
Right.
And so... any presumption that the website is the source of the vast majority of listening, that's wrong. It is the terrestrial signal that is the again, I'm making up the number 90%, but I'm sure it's around there. 90% of the people listening to KPFA are doing it the old fashioned way.
Thank you.
Donald got his hand up.
Go ahead, Donald.
No, sorry. That's an error.
Okay.
I have one quick question before you go. Sharon, my understanding is that some of the, is it true some of the central services payments were paid, in arrears were paid through the government money that came in during the COVID money?
I don't believe that's the case. Okay. I do know that, all right, let me just share my screen again. Sometimes it's just easier to look at the numbers. So, this one, share, let me just share. No, it's not that one. It's the other one that's behind it. This one. Here, share? I don't know.
Nope.
No, didn't work. I don't know. But let me just say, rather than doing that, BAI got a bequest of $200,000, and I believe that was applied to their central services payments in 2021. But to answer your question, which I think was what you're asking, Christina, okay, there's another loan that Pacifica took out, which is the EIDL, the Economic Injury Disaster Loan. And Pacifica applied for $2 million and so far has been awarded $500,000. Of that $500,000 that they were awarded, they have had to use some of that money to actually pay payroll. So they've borrowed money and used it to pay payroll at some stations.
Okay. Thank you, Sharon. Are there any other questions at this point?
Chris has his hand up.
Chris.
Oh, well, Chris is going to do the next report, but do you have a question for Sharon, Chris?
No, not really. I can just make it part of my report. Okay. I can share some more information about the PPP funds. I'll add that to it.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your very thorough report, Sharon. And thank you especially for all the years and all the effort you've put in as our treasurer. I will miss you. Totally miss your great reports, and I'll miss you.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, thank everybody.
We'll all miss you. All of us will
miss you. I'll kind of miss y'all. No, I'll miss you. I just don't necessarily miss the long meetings and the NFC meetings.
Oh, where else could you get an experience like this? I mean, come on. Okay.
Okay, very good. Thank you, everybody. Thank you,
Sharon. And Chris, would you please give us your report?
Sure. First of all, I just want to go through some of the Sharon isn't a member of the PMB, so there's some stuff that she doesn't know about. And anyway, and was kind of missing from her report. And like I say, there's no reason that she would have known this stuff. But as of the with regard to the PPP funds, that last question that was asked, the answer is actually yes. Some of the PPP funds were indeed applied to missing central services payments. And the way that was done, the spreadsheet that Sharon showed earlier was from Lyndon Foley. And that was part of an analysis that showed how much unpaid central services the individual stations had. As Sharon would be proud to point out, since KPFA wasn't a station that had missing central services, the way to apply those funds in the case of KPFA was different than the other stations. Whereas the other stations got it applied directly to central services, which in the case of KPFT resulted in them having all their central services paid for, just as an example. It was used as an intercompany credit in the case of KPFA. It's basically an IOU. Unfortunately, these IOUs rarely get paid. And if you look at the balance sheet, you'll find that there's something on the order of, I'm going off memory right now, but I believe it's certainly in the millions. I think it's $5 million that KPFA is in the positive. Now, how did this number get so large? Well, every time there's a financial disaster in the corporation, money is moved from KPFA to the national office and it is never paid back. So it's just sitting there as an enormous credit. And, the best we can hope for as a station is that, times will change and that, if we ever find ourselves in similar trouble to some of these other stations, that money will come back to us. I'm being extremely optimistic there, obviously. But the only place you can see this is in the intercompany loan, category, which is a balance sheet item. And the only place that you can really find that is in the audits. So if you look in the audits, you will definitely see it there. The principal on the big loan is actually, I think, close to $3 million now, maybe a little bit less. And that's in part due to one payment that was made as a result of a large bequest that was received by WBAI or through a WBAI listener. It was actually made out directly to Pacifica. A portion of that went into the interest account. A portion of it was used to pay payables at the time. But not to get too far off the rails, there was a motion passed by the PMB about a year ago that allocates that 30%, 30 to 50%, depending on the circumstances, of any bequest over, I think it's 20,000. I think that number's right. It might be 40. Has to go to pay off the big loan. So it's getting whittled away at. But of course, let's just use 30% as an example and say that it would take a $10 million bequest to retire that debt. So I don't anticipate any $10 million bequests. Maybe somebody else does. The KPFT building has been considered for sale for quite a while. It's basically uninhabitable. Has no working plumbing, as an example. And so they've been looking, to sell it for a bit. And, I believe it's in escrow right now or something. I mean, its status is basically sold and they're looking for another location right now. Most of the money from that sale will go to procuring a new facility for KPFT. At least that's the talk. The EIDL loan that was taken out, we took it out actually in two installments. The first one was $150,000. We got that, oh gosh, over a year ago. And the most recent installment was $500,000. So we're actually at $650,000 on that. The first payment isn't due until 2023. And so there's a bit of time to sort that out. They're also seeking to take out another $1.5 million on that same loan. If they manage to do that, this would be the management of Pacifica, by the way, when I say they. The PMB has demanded that $1 million of it go to the big loan. So basically it would be a refinance of that portion of the big loan, if you prefer to think of it that way. I think the interest rate on that is closer to 7%. Interest rates have fallen since the loan was taken out, but I think it was initially at 8, now it's 7. And lastly, the central services stuff, a lot of this ends up being a balance sheet item. And so it's very difficult to analyze it without looking at the balance sheet, who has paid what. And that's why, the NFC has been so persistent about getting these reports, particularly Lyndon Foley. He's done a great job of advocating for this, of getting how much has actually been paid by the individual stations, because it's impossible to tell looking at the monthly reports how much has been paid, because it always shows as if it were paid. In other words, it's an accrual amount. It's not an actually paid amount. And so it appears that everybody's paying their central services. But of course, if you look at the monthly report and the central services due was, say, $40,000, and the division of the company that reported that has a $40,000 deficit, unless they borrowed to get that $40,000, there's no way they paid it. So it appears that they paid it when they haven't. And that's a definite flaw, a deficiency in the way the reporting's done, but it can be amended through this additional report that NEDA has been preparing for us regularly regarding how much stations are paying in central services. So having gone through all of that, I just wanted to add that the focus of the NFC for the last year or so has been really KPFK, getting the budgets in order, of course, which is the primary duty of that body, but also KPFK, because it's been the most serious threat to the finances of Pacifica that we've seen since the WBAI lawsuit. That I can say that without reservation. It's got trailing debts of about $55,000 per month. And when all of the stations are at least breaking even and some are gainful, that amount can be covered. But now we've gone through all of our reserves. The idle funds have all been distributed and there's basically no cash in the organization. So every time these deficits come up, it's a crisis for Pacifica, and money has to be rounded up from somewhere. And it has primarily been rounded up from KPFA and of course WPFW, as discussed immediately previously, and also from the affiliates, who are a positive influence on the organization. So I think that's really about it, unless anybody has questions.
Does anyone have any questions on Chris's report? Jose, are you seeing any? I'm not seeing any.
No, I don't see any.
Can I